2 hours after touching down in Nashville, I was sitting at a hotel bar commiserating with another traveller about how my luggage was lost at the airport. The airline said they would send our luggage to the hotel right away, but we all know how that usually works out. It had been a long day of travel. My wife and I had just landed after a couple of connecting flights. I just wanted to order a drink and watch the sunset. Down sits Bobby. "Where did you fly in from today?" the bartender asked. "London. Non-stop. I'll have the regular and a double for this guy." "Looks like he could use it," Bobby said. Once upon a time, there lived a little girl named Hannah. Hannah lost her way and needed to cross the Lime River to get to her playhouse. But she could not swim. Suddenly, out of a magic lamp, a genie appeared.
"Greetings, little one," said the genie. "Looks like you're in a little bit of a pickle,"
asked Hannah.
"No," said the genie.
Then suddenly, the royal king rose out of Lime River and ate Hannah.
"The king likes to eat little kids," said the genie.
So the genie and the animals all moved into Hannah's playhouse, redecorated it, and lived happily ever after. The end.
Awoken from slumber, Mordra stretches luxuriously and licks his incisors. He dreamt about the strangers, the enemies making their way inexorably north to his domain. He stands, yawns, and casts his gaze around the hazy, bone-ridden plateau. Circling the stone tomb at its center, he inspects the seals and grimaces at the aura that leeches through the rock. During the long ages of Middle-earth, few had plumbed the depths of malice as deeply as had Mordra. He'd laid at the foot of the Iron Throne. He'd bared his fangs to the silver light when the moon was young. He knew the language of the moon and the secrets of the claws that await in the ice. He tasted the blood of greater heroes. He'd assumed many forms and taken many names. An unnatural growl begins deep within him, deepening as his mind reaches for the winds of the abyss. He wills them to blow hard, to blow south. It's time to deal with these strangers, these would-be intruders.
The sky lightens from dark blue to a pastel peach pink. The sky grows lighter and lighter, the rock face brighter and brighter, more veins and pits emerge in relief. And then, in what seems one miraculous moment, birdsong bursts from the bushes and trees and the sun fires up the face of Uluru, and it is as if the rock is glowing from within, pulsing, breathing, one huge burning ember.
"That's not so bad," said the soldier. "But what am I to give you, you old witch? For you will not do it for nothing, I fancy."
"No," replied the witch, "not a single farthing will I have. You shall only bring me an old tinder box which my grandmother forgot when she was down there last."
"Then tie the rope round my body," cried the soldier.
"Here it is," said the witch, "and here's my blue checked apron."
Then the soldier climbed up into the tree, let himself slip down into the hole, and stood as the witch had said, in the great hall, where many hundred lamps were burning. Now, he opened the first